Happy Saturday, beautiful people. Happy Saturday. It is another beautiful day in the neighborhood. I'm Cherie Hardy, and welcome to Bad Thought Therapy. I thank God for you. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. And I just thank God that I am 98%. I'm almost totally back. I don't know what I had, but God is good. And I just want to say, God is a healer. God is a healer. He is someone that will heal your body, heal your mind, heal your heart. Don't let anyone fool you. No one can heal you and restore you like he can. Nobody and nothing can. People are trying everything, but the Most High God, the one who made the sun and the stars and the planets that we know of and those we don't, they're trying everything but the Most High God. But if you will try God, oh my, 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 if you will humble yourself and just go to God and say, God, I surrender all. I don't know anything. I don't understand everything, but I'm told you are real. Just reveal yourself to me. I am here, Lord. I am so ready to experience you. And you pray that prayer with a sincere heart. And I'm going to tell you, you will feel the presence of the Most High God. This walk that we have is not a walk where you can understand everything. You can explain away everything. That and it's not a painless walk. You know, the difference between you as a believer and someone who doesn't believe is with God, you have transformative power. So whatever happens to you, you're able to transform the pain into a purpose. You're able to transform your trouble into treasure. You're able to transform loss into lessons. You're able to transform obstacles into opportunities. You're able to transform the mess into a message. That's what God will do for you. God does not change life. He changes us. Don't get confused, because there are a lot of people out there that are teaching really distorted things and it's confusing. But walking with God doesn't mean you're going to have a trouble-free life. No, you're going to have the same troubles that other people have. The difference is that trouble won't destroy you, because you do have a relationship with God, and He will use everything that you experience for good. He will transform everything that is painful into something with a purpose. And I'm telling you, not what I think. I'm not telling you what I read. I'm telling you what I know from first-hand experiences. I am telling you what I know. Yes, when you finally surrender, and you walk under God's authority, you do minimize a lot of pain and suffering, because you don't make the same choices you made when you really weren't walking with Him. There was a point in my life when I was very religious and I didn't have a personal relationship. And a lot of that was out of ignorance and not fully understanding what relationship meant, and not knowing that I could have an authentic relationship with God for myself and by myself. So I did a lot of things, and I didn't understand. They were religious and they were very painful. But when you really surrender to the full authority of the Most High God, and you have a relationship, and you can just be like Abraham, and you can just talk to God all day, every day, by yourself, for yourself, and there's no religion that has distorted that relationship, let me tell you something. That's when your life will actually have more peace, because God's providence will guide you. You will start to seek God out for His wisdom and His ways. And I say this a lot on this podcast, and I don't know what I'm going to pray this summer, and God will give me the life and the strength to do something, to talk about how people have misused the Bible and they have distorted what's in the Bible in a way that has hurt people. And it grieves my spirit that has happened, because what happens is, when people use the Bible and they use these stories, they use them in a way that is not empowering people to get closer to God. And in fact, what happens, the way they're using it, it causes more pain and suffering. That's not what I'm going to talk about, but I just have to say that. But when you really, really understand relationship, and I'm asking God to help me to do some things, you will go to God and you will seek His wisdom and His guidance. And that's what Abraham did. Before religion, Abraham, he's a model. If you take the lessons and you glean the principles from that powerful book that we call the Holy Bible, you will learn that the real people who had power, who had real spiritual power, they had relationship with God. It wasn't about rules and regulations. And you got to understand, the Bible didn't fall out of the sky. It's a book that was written by men. And these men wrote about people that lived during a certain time in history, during a certain time in the world where they had a certain culture. Some of their cultural practices were bad. Some of the things that they did were things that hurt people, especially women. And so if you don't read it as a book like that, you don't take it and take the lessons from it and take the principles from it and say, okay, what can we learn from these stories? What do we need to change as a result of their bad habits or their mistakes? What do we need? If you read it any other kind of way, and many people do read the wrong way, then you create more pain. But I'm going to tell you something. When I really got free of religion and I started to have a relationship with God and I just could talk to God all day and all night, that's when I stopped having some of the pain I stopped having, because I could make better choices for myself in my life. And that's what I want to say too. When you get relationship, and I'm getting ready to get to the topic in a second. Let me tell you, your life will change. Yes, you will still go through challenges and stress, and you will still have to deal with, you know, people that you might perceive as difficult. You still may have certain needs and things that you're trying to get, but it's different because you have relationship. You know God is real. You know that everything you're going through has a purpose, but you seek His wisdom and His guidance, and you don't deal with some of the same stuff you might have dealt with before when you were in the world or when you were just religious. So I just want to say that out the gate. I want to invite you to do this thing. It's very simple. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to read anything, but just find a quiet space. Find a quiet space where you are alone. There is no background noise. You don't have a television going or radio or music or phone. Everything is quiet. There are no people. And in that quiet place, just remain quiet and mentally start to understand and imagine the sun. Man did not make the sun. Man gets cancer. Some men get cancer just from being out in the sun, and we're millions of miles away. So man didn't make the sun. That being who made the sun is the God that I am referring to. That being that made the stars and the planets and the oceans, that's who I'm talking about. That being is real. And no, I don't understand everything about Him. No, I don't understand why certain things happen, why certain things exist. That's exhausting to try to figure out all that. I just know that He's real. And if you will get in that quiet place and begin to communicate to that supreme being that we call God in the Celtic language, in the Bible, the people in the Bible, they spoke Hebrew. So they use His Hebrew name, which they were many. They were Yah Elohim, and it was Jehovah. All those names, that's just the Hebrew name. If you speak French, it would be Dieu. If you speak Spanish, it would be Dios. But the name, if you speak Arabic, it would be Allah. The God I'm talking about is the one who is the supreme being of everything. And that's the one to whom your soul belongs. Whether you believe Him or not, we're going to find out. I'm telling you, you don't know. If you haven't found out already, you don't believe, you will find out to whom your soul belongs. the Most High God, get in that quiet place and begin to talk to him. See, the thing I love about God is you can pour out every thought, everything you're dealing with, and you don't have to worry about being judged. You don't have to be worried about anything being repeated. You don't have to worry about being put down because of your thoughts. You don't have to be worried about being attacked. But you get it all out. You just talk to the Most High God. He wants fellowship with you. He loves you. And whether or not you know him, he knows you. You don't have to believe in him. He believes in you. And when you understand that, you will believe. You will believe he is real. Talk to him. Put everything and just, and then listen to him. Be humble. You know, recently I had an experience that I'm leading up to the topic. I'm going to get there. But I'm just on fire this morning. I feel, like fire in my bone. I was thinking about my job. And, you know, being a teacher has always been challenging. There are always challenges. And teaching is such a profession that's so different from any other profession. When you're a teacher, you're dealing with multiple personalities. You're dealing with people with multiple needs at one time. And you're trying to, and this is what's so amazing, the almost miracle of teaching is people are expecting you to supply the needs of different personalities all at one time, different needs all at one time, whether they're social, emotional, intellectual. You're expected to do this. And there are challenges with it. And it's a beautiful thing if you're called to do it, which I believe that I am. But I have to say, what goes with that are some challenges. So recently I was kind of hurt because I take what I do very seriously. And I put in 110%. And anybody who knows me well knows I'm not a slacker. That's just something I cannot, no one can accuse me of that. I will do 110%. So some of my AP students had gone to the counselor and was sharing that they didn't feel prepared for the AP test. And in my mind, my first reaction was, I was devastated because I'm like, what am I doing? I'm up here teaching every day and I'm just like, I mean, I'm literally, I could break out in a sweat. Like, and I care. And because I love these young ladies and because I care, I think it hurt because I'm like, okay, I'm doing everything I can. And I told them, I would be the first one to admit, you know, I don't know everything. This is my first time teaching this. I'm learning. And also, I'm a strategic person. I'm a firstborn. I am a person who has always been sort of unorthodox and unconditional in my teaching style and approach, but it has worked. And so I have had some experience with success with students, you know, passing these high stakes tests. And I'm one of those people, if I do something and it works, I'm going to keep doing it. Not that I'm not going to tweak it or try to learn something new, but there is a strategy for writing that I've used in the past, and it has helped students. So this is a different course. Last year, well, when I came in January of 2023, I taught AP literature, English literature and composition. This class is AP English language and composition, which is different. It's all about rhetoric. There's a lot of nonfiction involved. It's just different. So I told the students this. Now, every day, mind you, I'm teaching. Of course, I'm giving my life lessons because they need that. You can't learn if you're not engaged in learning. But anyway, made a long story short, I was so hurt, y'all. I was just so. Then I had a student share yesterday what she felt like she needed that she didn't get. And she made some very valid points. And what she was saying was great, but I had a reason why I wasn't doing those things. But I said, if she needed those things, I wish I had given her those things. You know what I'm saying? So I was hurt. But anyway, I started praying about it because I'm not a person to just say, they're wrong, I'm right. I can't be that kind of person. And I know people who are like that. I never hear them say, y'all, I got it wrong or I dropped the ball. I don't want to be that person because I think that is so dangerous to you as a human being. You have to search deep. And we have to be able to acknowledge that we're wrong sometimes. And I told them that. I said, y'all, look, I'm a work in progress. I'm wrong sometimes. I don't get everything right. I tried to explain my situation. Another situation is some of the things the young lady was saying she needed. She was right. But I'm trying to figure out, okay, with the time constraints, how am I going to do it? I feel I can do what I'm called to do, but there are some things I need that I don't have. So I'm trying to still juggle all that, how to manage all that. But make a long story short, something hit me. And it was, did I really pray to God and ask God to help me to teach these kids? Like, maybe I have at some point since I've gone back into the classroom, but did I really go into that class? And I started thinking, did I do that? Because if I didn't, then I cannot just rely on even my own skills or my own history of success. Did I go to God? And it hit me. I said, I didn't pray enough about this. And I want to share this with you that everything we do, we need to go to God and ask for His help and guidance. I don't care what it is. I don't think, if it's riding a bike, you know what I'm saying? You might think you know how to ride a bike, you know how to swim, you know how to drive, whatever. Ask God to help you. Because I said, well, maybe if I had asked God a little bit more, because every class is different, every group is different. I've had some real big success when I came in last year. And it was different because I had not been in the classroom for a minute. So I really spent a lot of time on the weekends working. I did a lot of things I stopped doing that years ago. But I said, okay, I'm going to sacrifice. I'm going to give some weekend time. And the children who followed my plan, it worked. And I give all the credit to God because it's the anointing of God that has allowed me to teach in this way. I am very unorthodox. I'm probably autistic. I realize I'm probably on the spectrum. I'm ADHD. I'm all of those things. I've fully leaned into them and I've embraced them now. But I couldn't get these kids to trust me for whatever the reason. And I kept saying, they're brilliant. They're brilliant children. And yes, this will work. My formula will work, but you got to follow it. But I can't get them to follow it, Lord. But this is what hit me. Did I ask God to help me? Ask God to help you. I don't care what it is. Ask God to help you. You know, I know, and I hope you know too, we cannot take our next breath without God. Period. We just can't. We are breathing because God says we can breathe. And there are people walking around, and I marvel sometimes, like they're just living their life or, you know, existing, and they're not ever thinking about God. Every action that they take, you can tell, is, you know, so dark and perverted, and you're like, because they're not thinking about God. You know what I'm saying? They can't be. It's no way. And so ask God. And what hit me, let me tell you how God works. When God wants to reinforce a lesson on me, what He'll do is He'll lead me to read something or watch something that will reinforce that lesson. So the lesson is, every time we're trying to do something, especially for the kingdom of God, and teaching is a part of God's kingdom, you know, helping empower young people and leading them in the right way is God's work. And everybody has God's work. I don't care what you do. You're working in the medical field, you're an accountant, you're a lawyer, you're working in retail, you're working in restaurants and food, whatever you do, we can let God's light shine through us, and we do it for the glory of God. And I say, God, let me make sure I give you the glory, because that's you, because I know I can't, because I came in the middle of the year and I didn't know what I was doing. I had never taught AP, advanced placement, English literature and composition in my life, but God be the glory that He was telling me different things to do and different things to teach. And I said, well, maybe this year I just got so confident in my own skills that I didn't really go in with you, God. And so I had to go back and reflect. And I've been in some serious prayer because these girls are brilliant. But if they don't, like I told my principal, what I'm afraid of, if they don't believe they can do it, because it is harder. I will say this. English, AP, the College Board, English language and composition is harder. Much harder. There's a lot more content to cover. But they can do it. So make a long story short, I said, God, you know, maybe I didn't pray enough to you and get your guidance and tell me what to do. Because that's my prayer. This is a prayer that I tell people, everybody I know, when you're trying to do something hard, you can't do it in your own strength. We really can't do anything in our own strength. As I said before, we can't take our next breath without the Most High God's permission. Ask God to tell you what to do. And that was my prayer. But let me tell you how God reinforced it. I may have to make this episode a little longer than I wanted. So a coworker and I, we were talking, and she and I don't know how we got on the subject. We were just talking about our Black men, and so many of them unfortunately have gone to the dark side. And this sexual perversion, and it's just so powerful. It's a spirit. And they've allowed themselves to that spirit to come in them. And as a result of that, they're no longer able to do things in the natural order, in the natural way that God intended. So we were having this conversation. We both have very similar. We have a lot in common. We've had the same kind of experience in relationships, and one relationship with me too. And so she tells me about this movie. She says, you know, you really need to see this movie. I was telling her about something that I experienced. And she said, you need to see that movie, Honk for Jesus, and that came out last year, a couple of years ago. So I had heard of it, but I'd never watched it. I decided to watch it. And there is a scene in this movie that's like straight out of my life. I said, who has been in my life? Because this scene is exactly what happened to me. And so I said, wow, it must be more common than what I thought. Because what happens is when men engage in this perversion, again, they're no longer able to do what is natural with their bodies in the way that they should. And so the movie depicted it like it was so real. It was actually scary. It was so real. And of course, I don't know these people. They didn't know my story. But what I'm finding out from talking to my coworker that many women have the experience, because we've had identical experiences. And of course, we don't know each other. And the men that we were talking about, they don't know each other. So it's something that's going on. But anyway, in the movie, Honk for Jesus, Save Your Soul, the pastor, what got me about that movie was he was trying to keep going in his ministry, even though he had been involved in some perversion and sexual impropriety. And as a result of that, his parishioners left the church, except for the Faithful Five. I thought that was interesting. And it's always like that. And so, but in his process of trying to get people back, he never prayed. He never said, God, help me. He never said to God. We never saw him praying. We never saw him saying, you know, God, help me and forgive me and any of that. In fact, in the movie, it shows he was trying to do the very thing that he lost all the people for, all the perversion and all that. He's keep trying to do it, and his wife knew. And that's what the movie is, a satire. It's a satiric kind of movie. And but what it hit me was it reinforced that thing about how people try to do things without God, and it's never going to work. There is nothing we can do with success, with real success and long-lasting impact without the Most High God. And I want to encourage you today. I just feel like, and this minister, even though he had fallen, and I didn't know if they were trying to sort of make this story about one of the ministers that was here in Atlanta, sort of similar situation. It was alleged that he had been involved with several males at the church, and he ended up losing everything, and eventually this man ended up dying. Some believe that he died of AIDS, that kind of thing. And it's such a tragedy. And I had always said, I wonder if he had just come clean, if he had just come out and said, y'all, I have a problem. I've fallen. I'm perverted. I let the spirit of perversion and evil get into me. And I'm going to take off for a while. I'm going to try to, I'm going to consecrate myself. I'm going to get right with God. And I almost wish he had done that, but he didn't do that, of course, because most people, when they're caught into that, they go to their grave denying that they've done it. So anyway, the movie just reinforced that, you know, when they don't pray, they're not even thinking about God. There's a point when they're just functioning to be able to have the lights and the glamour and the glitter, and their own glory. They want to glorify themselves. But he kept saying, they came to hear, and whatever the character's name was, so-and-so and so-and preach, they came to, you know. And I started thinking, Lord, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to get so prideful and thinking that it's my ability that I have had success with students, because it's not. The reason why I have had success is because of God's anointing and God's hand on my life. Without his hand, without his anointing, without his grace, I can do nothing. And neither can any of you. And that's what I wanted to say. And that's not what this lesson was supposed to be about. I'm going to have to do another episode, y'all. But I just want to say, seek God's providence. Seek his face. That's what I'm doing. I love what I'm doing. I love the students that I teach. I'm so grateful, and I love my principal. Like, I have the best principal in the world. I've never, in 32 years of teaching, I've never met a principal like my principal. So I just thank God. And I'm like, this is a chance. But these girls, and I don't know what it is, because there's a generational gap. I'm old enough to be their grandmother, and I tell them that sometimes. And so it's very hard for me to relate to some of the things that they deal with and they're thinking, because it's just so remotely far from my own. And it's how I grew up. You had to be tough. And I'm going to talk about this interview. I haven't finished it yet, with Shannon Sharp and Amanda Seals. So much I want to say about this. But there was a part in their interview where they were talking about, Amanda Seals was talking about being on the spectrum, and she is autistic. And she was saying, yeah, at a certain age, you know, it was probably beaten out of you. And she's so right, because I realize now I'm probably on the spectrum, and I couldn't be autistic. You know, they didn't know what it was. You were just crazy. You were just doing stupid stuff. And you were so terrified and so ashamed. You couldn't do it. And I'm not bad mouthing anybody. They didn't know what to do, and we didn't understand things. But I just started thinking about myself doing certain things, and I'm like, okay. And it was nerve-wracking. I get it. But now we know, you know, what to do. And I just got so tickled by that. So, y'all, I can't understand this group. And I'm trying, and I have to pray for understanding. So that's what this podcast is going to be about. I will come back, because I want to talk about praying for peace for the Middle East. That rhymes. We got to pray. There have been protests all over the United States. And I hate when they use terms like pro-Palestine, a pro-Palestinian, and anti-Israel, because those are misnomers. Those are not the right terms. Most people now, if they are protesting, they're protesting for peace. And there's a history there. Unless you really sat down and you studied history, you won't understand. And what I discovered a couple of years ago, I was talking to a friend, and I was shocked that she had only just recently learned about how the nation of Israel was established. Because really, Israel is the name of Jacob from the Holy Bible. But she didn't know. And I said, well, wow. And I was shocked, because I said, I learned about this in the 80s, baby, when I was in college. So I didn't know that people are just now understanding that long history, and now how it's ended up where it is in 2024. But even though that history is there, something happened in October of last year where it was alleged that there's a terrorist group that committed a terrorist act. And as a result of that, the country of Israel responded to that, and they have not stopped responding. And that's what the protests are about. I'm getting ready. The red light is on. I got to go. But anyway, we'll talk about that. That was what I want to talk about. It's time for me to go. Peace and blessings. I hope this episode bless you. Let me know you're listening. Don't forget, I'm on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Love you. Bye-bye.